Father God, we just come before you right now, Lord God, as your children. Father, we come before you right now as your people. Lord, we come before you, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just want to say thank you so much, Father, for life. Thank you so much, Lord God, for breath. Thank you so much, Lord, for Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, this day, Father, as we would just look to you, Father, as we would seek your presence, Father, as we would seek your face, as we would seek, Lord, your word and your will to be done. Father, we just ask, Lord, for your presence to be with us, Father. We ask for your direction. Lord, we pray, Father, that your peace that you offered and you give us, Father, that it would just well up strong in our hearts, knowing that you are in control. And Father, in all things, Lord God, that your will is being done, Father, and you're watching over your children, Lord God. And so, Lord, thank you for this night, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that you're completely aware of every circumstance and every situation that we face. And Lord, we just say thank you, Father. And as we look to you, Father, in the Word this night, Lord, we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, Father. We pray, Lord God, that you would open up your Word to our hearts, Father. Lord, I just get out of the way, Father, and I ask and pray for the free flow of your Holy Spirit here. Lord, we just bind every demonic force, every attack of the enemy, Lord, and we cast it out. And Lord, we just pray and release, Father, your freedom in this place this night, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay. There's so much going on right now, but it's really cool because we're living life, we're living the adventure that God allows his people to go through. And one thing I'm kind of learning even recently is how the body of Christ works, how God's people are, God's true people are where he needs them to be, doing what he needs them to be doing, in connection with him, ready, prepared for the work at hand right now. And it's really cool. You know, I think so often people, the world gets people trying to do stuff that they're saying, okay, you should be this, you should be this, you should be this. But if you're walking in step with the Spirit of God, you will be doing what he wants you to be doing. You will be where he wants you to be. And whatever situation life finds you in, he's in control because he's also the master of your circumstance. And I think one of the tricks and the keys to this life that I'm learning too is to not be mastered by your circumstance, but to master the situation that you're in, because you know and trust God. And then whatever situation you're in, you have that stability in the core of who you are, so that you can go through it. This last week for me, with all the different things that have happened, I've had like 1,000 things happen in this last 6 days. And with each and every one of them, one of the things that I'm starting to see is just that I'm okay. You know, I'm all right. And the reason I'm all right, it's not me, but it's Christ in me, and the growth that's taken place because of the work of the Spirit of God that happens. It's a process, but that work that he does, it enables me to be now in pretty much anything, and know that it's going to be okay. And then also knowing that I'm just looking for God's hand in what's going on, because he's in control. Okay, so we've been in this series, The Call of the Righteous. Now, tonight's part 5. Okay, we are made the righteousness of Christ Jesus because of him. We are as you walk with Him, you're fused with the Spirit of God. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay. Stop there. First of all, verse 10. Now we're talking about, this is instruction to, that's good. The instruction to the church and for us this day. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, one thing that happens, okay, when we come to Christ, and when somebody's eyes are open to who He is, pretty much all of it, you come to Him in a very weak condition, because you've been so broken down by the world, you've been so broken down by life, and when you come to the Lord, it's like even Jesus, when He said, look, come unto me all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So when we come to the Lord, what happens is that we're in a very weak and disconnected position spiritually, and even if in the world, in the eyes of the world, people might say, oh yeah, you're okay, but really, if they knew what was going on inside of us, they'd realize, wait, you know, we're not. So we come to the Lord in that way, but when there's that connection made with the Spirit of God, there is a fusing with Him, that, and He begins to build us back up. He begins to strengthen us. He begins to heal hurts. He begins to the places where we were broken, His life and power flows in and flows through. The places where we were weak, now we become strong in Him. And so over a process of time, and what I've seen too, is the stronger that a person will come to God, the faster that happens. So like if a person just comes to God with all of their heart, that's why even the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. With that process, if you come to Him like that, with complete abandonment to the Spirit of God, what He does is then that's like the fastest way. If you really are serious about like living life and walking out a true life and a victorious life for the period of time that you're here in this earth, that's the number one quickest way to do it, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and just go with it. And so, but when that happens, the Spirit of God begins to strengthen you, and He begins to build up your inner strength, your chi, the core of who you are is strengthened, in Christ. So like, and so what happens too, what I've seen so many times is like, people will, especially around church things, and they've been trained to do this also, is like, oh God, you know, help. I mean, like this beggar thing, you know, and they've stayed in this weak, spiritually impoverished condition for 15, 20 years. And the thing, even when so right here where it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So we are to be strong. Now, why are we strong in Him? Well, John 17, when Jesus was praying, His prayer to, for the early, for the disciples and for us, is He said, I pray that they may be one. You know, even as, oh, let's go to that real quick. John 17. But keep your finger in Ephesians 6. We're coming back there. John 17. Now Jesus, this is the Lord's Prayer. When He was praying, He said in verse 20 in chapter 17 of John, it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in Me through their word. That's us. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. Okay, so the prayer for the church and the prayer for us is that we may be one in Christ. Okay, is Christ weak? No. Is Christ weak? No. Christ isn't weak. If there was a strong man that ever lived on the face of this earth, it's Him, with true strength, with the strength that, I mean, so when we are fused with the Spirit of God, there is a strength that takes place in our hearts and in our souls. And you see even the transition in the early church of people that walked with Christ and what happened with them as they walked with Him. And they became strong in Him. They became what He wanted them to be. And so, for us, we are to be strong in Him. There comes a point where you have to realize your spiritual position and you have to go with it. So there comes a point where you have to realize you are a joint heir in Christ, that you are one in the Spirit of God, that all power and authority that God has vested in His church is also vested in you, because you are part of that true church. And you have authority in the Spirit over every situation. You have authority in the heavenly realms over every demonic force that would come against you, because you serve one that's higher than them. So you have that. You have that position. You have that authority. You have that empowering that's been given you by the Spirit of God. So you are instructed, and we're instructed to be strong, to take that up, to walk in that. Now there's things that we can do that strip the strength that we have. You know, I was reading the Apocrypha the other day, and one thing is that, in fact, let me go grab that really quick. It's a really cool thing. Hold on. This one here, when I was reading this, he was talking about, let's see, oh, in verse Ecclesiasticus 51, verse 20 in the Apocrypha said, I set my heart on possessing wisdom, and by keeping myself pure, I found her. With her I gained understanding from the first, therefore I shall never be at a loss. So even there it's like, okay, so he found wisdom in walking in purity. And there's certain elements that, like, but then so there's certain things that just like strip us, that take away from us, that strip your strength, strip you spiritually, strip you naturally. And so we have to, there's a free will component that we make a decision on and go with. So that's why too, we're instructed to turn from our sins. We need to, we have to, because sin doesn't just kill, it makes you so weak. And so it's one thing, okay, it's one thing when people mess up. They do, you know, people are natural and they're made of flesh and they've made mistakes. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it's another thing when that's been chosen as way. And even in Hebrews when it says, look, you know, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we know, here, in fact, let me flip there really quick, if I can remember that one. Let's see. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26 says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Okay. So basically here too, okay, Christ saves us from our sins, and he also gives us an empowering by the Spirit of God to turn from them. So that's why when we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, then if you're loving him and you're walking in that direction, you're also walking away from some stuff. And so in that process, the thing is, what he's calling us into, it's good for us. It's the path of life. It's the path where you find what you're actually looking for while you're in this world. So, you know, it's not, and actually, you know, there's a misnomer too to what this means, because a lot of religious organizations, what they do is then they bind people with all kinds of ritual and all kinds of spirits, like, you know, they make their own doctrines around these. Okay, here's your list of do's and here's your list of don'ts, and if you do the do's and you don't do the don'ts, then you're okay. And that's not it. No, it's this is between you and the Father. But anything that is hindering your relationship and your walk with him, let it go. And you know it because you know how it affects your connection with them. Like Isaiah 59. Actually, here, go Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 and verse 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So sin does separate us from connection with the Spirit of God. And willful sin, what you're choosing, and what we're choosing, is we're choosing to put ourselves in a position where we can't hear his voice. And we're also choosing to put ourselves in a position where we are not connected to the source of our strength, and then we start to get weak. And when we start to get weak and open doors become there, then that's when the enemy that prowls around like a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour, in Peter 5, that's when he seeks to pounce on you, because his whole goal is to rob, steal, kill, and destroy you. So the instruction for us is to, and the call for the righteous, those who are righteous in Christ, is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, not be strong in ourselves. See, there comes a point where, first of all, we do have to recognize our weakness outside of him. And when we do that, and when we realize, okay, I can't do this by myself. That is a season, and there's a point for that. But you don't stay there. You know, you move on from that. Once you realize that, okay, cool. That's understood. That's resolved. He now is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So, when you realize that He's the source, now go for it. Now it's like, okay, be strong in the Lord. Now you know where the source of your strength is. Now realize you're an ambassador in Him and move with that. Realize that you're strong in Him and go forward with that. Okay, so now verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, in putting on the whole armor of God, we realize that we're in a war, we're in a battle, we're in a spiritual fight. And the moment that you came into the earth, the fight was on. So the moment that you breathed your first breath, the enemy of your soul, the devil, and the world system has been working to rob, steal, kill, and destroy you in the natural, in the spiritual, in every way possible, to suck out every gift and everything that God has ever put in you, to use you up and then to discard you and to throw you away. So that's the world, that's what it does to people, and that's how it's set up. And the more that a person in the world contributes to that, the higher that they go within their system. But they eventually, everyone in the world is used up. That's the way that it works. But they many times will knock them off in the back room. They don't show you that overtly. They just move another person up on the stage. But we're in a spiritual battle. And in a battle, you get tired. In a battle, you take hits. In a battle, you get wounded. You know, in a battle, you are in the trenches. In a battle, you have people that have your back, and you have other people's back. And in a battle, there are sides, and you're fighting against somebody else. So we're in a war, and so because when you realize you're in a war, and you're in a spiritual war, then you start to say, okay, at least I know what's going on. You know, at least I have an understanding that, okay, I'm in a spiritual battle, I'm in a spiritual war, there's a war on that's coming against me, and if it was not for the Spirit of God, I would have been dead a long time ago. If it was not for Jesus Christ looking out for me and watching over me, my life would have been finished a long time ago. So the breath that I have is on loan from God. He's taking care of me, and because of that, it's like, okay, Lord, it's about You. But now I am in this thing, and because I'm in this thing, and He saved me, and He filled me with His Spirit, now the fight's on. So the war is on, and I've been called. You've been called. We've all been called as warriors in the Spirit of God for the fight that's at hand right now. And the fight that's at hand is, it's a rescue mission that we're put into while we're here in the earth. It's a rescue mission for souls. It's the rescue mission for those that are that belong to the Father. And so we have a responsibility. So everything that comes as far as things that we do in the world and work and jobs and possessions and all of that, that's not the important stuff. You have and then you don't have. Doesn't matter. You can have something, and the way the world is tomorrow, you cannot have it. And then the day after that, you can get it all back again. I mean, the stuff comes and goes, and if your life is dependent on that, it's on a really shaky foundation. You know, if your life is dependent on things going well for you in the world, you're in a bad way. Because guaranteed that, you know, your circumstance and situations will, you know, if that's it, you know, how many people consider it that God's blessing them if things are working out for them in the world? Almost like 98% of the people that I know that call themselves Christians believe that it's the blessing of God on their life if things are working out for them in the world. Which is a complete illusion, because you can, if you think of it like this way, what if you're going down the wrong path and the devil wants you to keep going down the wrong path? So he works to orchestrate your circumstance so that you have success in the path you're going, so you keep going in that path and you keep ignoring the voice of the Spirit of God that says, wait, don't keep going that way. But you think that success in the world is God blessing me. Because otherwise, if that was the case, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett should be the strongest servants of the Lord that the world's seen these days. They're not. Success in the world is not a measure of the favor of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that that God's called everybody to be impoverished either. No, he has all kinds. But what we do is we take the call and the direction and the assignment that he gives us, and we fulfill the role in the body of Christ that he allows us to fulfill. So you will have one assignment, I will have another, you'll have another, Tony will have another. Each one of us will have something where we fulfill that function the way that God has wired us. And if we do our responsibilities well, it works in line and in step with what the head is speaking to the whole body and the purposes and plans of the kingdom of God right now and for all eternity. It's a very cool thing. So we put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay. The call is to stand and to stand strong against every attack that the enemy would send our way. And not just that, but to decimate the attacks of the enemy that come against us, and to stand there after you've gone against all of those, wipe them out in the Spirit of God, ready to do it all over again. So we're called to fight the good fight of faith. We're called to be strong in the Lord, and then to take up the fight that's at hand with the fight that's in front of us. And there's times where, yeah, we get weary. Yeah, we get tired. Yes, we struggle. Yes, we take hits. But Isaiah 40, verse 31, let's go there really quick. When you get down, when you struggle, Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So when we go through, and when we're under attack, when we are fighting, many times it might even feel like you're fighting for your life, when you're in the middle of that, whenever the press comes in, whenever you are feeling that in your spirit, wait upon the Lord. Stop where you are, bow your knee before the King of Kings, and just call out to him and say, God, I'm here, I'm struggling with this, I need you right now, Lord. Please help me. And you just wait upon him, and you receive from that connection that you have in Christ Jesus, you receive the inflow and empowering of the Spirit of God, and it strengthens you, it builds you up so that you can keep going, that you can stand. And then also when you bring when you bring the things that are going on in your life to the Father, what he does is then now you are allowing and asking for the intervention of all the armies of heaven in what's going on right now. And so it's no longer you just trying to hold on, but now it's literally scores and scores and legions of angels that are coming into the battle that's at hand and fighting it at your side, on your behalf, because though you are the human agent that's in the fight, you have the whole of heaven fighting on your behalf. So that's why too, it's like, and I remember a pastor that I love and respect, he said, one plus God is always in the majority. You know? And so it's true. It's like, one plus God is always in the majority. And so it's like, you know, the world is always like, oh, let's take a vote. And they can have a democracy. We're in a theocracy. We are in the kingdom of God. And if you are, and when you are on the side of the king, every warrior that he has is there to fight at your side, on your behalf. And so, so when we get discouraged, when we get down, we stop and we wait upon the Lord. And when we stop and we wait upon the Lord, he's always close. So even like recently, when I've been having struggles with certain things, I felt presence of the Lord so strongly. And you know what I noticed? Is the worse the situation, the more that I feel him close. And it's so cool, because it's like, it's so cool because then you just realize, you know, he's right there with you in that situation. And no matter what it is, you're all right. No matter what it is, he'll take you through. And if you can just learn to trust him, that's faith. If you can just learn to trust him and walk out what he shows you. See, he doesn't ask us to do impossible things. He only asks us to obey. He's the one that does the impossible things. So all he asks is Moses to toss down his stick. He's the one that changes it into a serpent, or splits the sea, or you know, I mean, he's the one that does that. We just take the one step that he shows us that we can do, and he works the miracle. See, so often we're like, oh gosh, look at this huge situation. It's okay. It's not your situation to solve. He's the one that'll solve the situation. All you gotta do is that one piece or part that he shows you to do. So do that part. Allow for God to show you and to speak to you. Okay, back to Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay. So, the battle that we're in is against an organized enemy force. You know, sometimes it feels like you're fighting like this big horde of just demons, but it's not. It's a very, very structured, organized, methodical enemy. And see, here's one thing two people don't realize. The devil and the kingdom of this world will take 10 years, 15 years, 20 years to try and shipwreck your life. So it'll realize and say, okay, Audrey, she loves Jesus and she's walking with him right now. Okay, put together a 5-year plan to get her into a place where she's not on the path where she is right now. And they'll begin to organize that, they'll begin to, and they'll work through the same way that they do the whole approval processes and any, where they'll get it set up and then they'll go to work in putting that thing into practice. And so, it's like, see, this is why too, he is, that God is, he's the Lord our God. We will have no other gods before him. If you have a desire in your heart that's greater than your love for the Father, you will be snared at that point. I'll say it again. If you have a desire in your heart that's greater than your love for the Father, you will be snared at that point. And that'll be the point that'll paralyze you. And that'll also be the point where the enemy will work out a plan to take you out. So, and this is why it's so key that number one is Him. Let all the other stuff fall into place under that. But number one is Him. Because if number one is Him, He will set the rest of things in priority and in line, and He'll take care of the desires of your heart. But if it's not number one, it's Him, then what will happen is that place where that desire is will be the place where the enemy will work through what could be a good desire if it was in the right place in connection with the Spirit of God. He'll work through that to make it something that now is out of place, and then that becomes the idol, that becomes the thing you serve, and then one day you wake up and you're like, what happened? Hopefully you wake up and realize what happened, but a lot of people don't, and then they go into justification, which is seeking to say, okay, you know, no, this is all right, and God knows my heart, and but you get paralyzed. And see, God, Jesus, when He, even with, in John 10, here, let's flip back there, John 10. Okay. John chapter 10. And verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Okay, so Jesus' reason that He came was also that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So He came that we would have an abundant, full life. You know, I had somebody one time in the States who was a prophetic, beautiful prophetic woman. I love this woman. And but one time she was praying with me, and we were talking, and she just said, you know, Govinda, she said, God is not going to cheat you out of life. You know, and for me that was, it was kind of a concern in the back of my head, because, you know, it's like, okay, Lord, I love You, I want to serve You, I want to walk out my life with You. But in the back of my head the thought was, okay, and in that process now, of loving You and of serving You, and all the stuff I'm going to have to give up in that, that I'm going to have a substandard life. You know, that was my thought. You know, that I'm not going to have something that somebody else has. I'm going to miss out on what, you know, somebody else, I'm going to miss out on something that, you know, I could have or would have, or, you know, it's like, there just was that in the back of my mind, you know. And but it was cool. See, that's the thing. For me, I was like, that's cool. You know, if that's what it costs, because I love Him, I'll go with it. But then she had to hit home the point, look, God is not going to cheat you out of life. And now, I mean, this was years ago. Now as I start reflecting back and I start looking at the life that I've had, in walking out with the Spirit of God, I've had a fuller, richer experience of life than I can't think of a person that I know my age that I mean maybe some that have had similar stuff, but I can't think of anybody that has had, you know, for me, I wouldn't trade any of it. I've had this amazing, fulfilled, and I'm not done yet. But He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So He wants us to have an abundant life, but it comes on His terms. And see, what happens is the world will offer you the illusion of an abundant life, the illusion of a fulfilled life, the illusion of the satisfying of some desire that you have in your soul that even is a God-given desire, but out of place, And the world will offer that to you in a different priority. So they'll say, okay, you can have this. Just like, remember, here, flip to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. Back to Jesus and Lucifer. The devil. In verse 6 says, and the devil said unto him, verse 5. And the devil taking him up unto a high mountain showed unto him, unto Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So, okay, so Lucifer makes him a legitimate offer for a limited time, if only he will get out of position and, you know, thou shalt not love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You put him first. And in putting that, you know, that you'll get something that also is something that Jesus, this, he will rule the nations with an iron scepter. He will, his kingdom will, he'll rule this whole thing. That's his, you know, that's going to, that is happening, but that's also going to happen in a very real, tangible way. But right now you have the functioning too of the kingdom of this world, you know, for a season. They get their window of time to run around the track. You know, they get their window of time to play their little game and to play dress up. But it does, there's going to be a point where God just says, okay, done with this now. You know, time to change. Time to snap this whole thing out. You guys have had your fun. You know. And at that point, but see, here, the devil offers the quick fix that will ultimately kill Jesus. And we have to realize that any desire that we have, it always has to be below that position where love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is number one and two. And when those are in place, then you bring those desires before the Father. So even Jesus there with Lucifer, he said, thou wilt get behind me, Satan. The scripture says, thou shalt love the Lord your God and him only shall, or thou shalt worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve. So, so he took that, put it back before the Word and the Spirit of God, and instantly it's just like, it comes back to him like, this is not a chance. So, again, we bring those things before him. So it's like you have a desire in your heart. So you're like, okay, Lord, for example, work. You know, there's a lot of things where, you know, I would have loved to have worked on X, Y, Z. But whatever it was, I brought it before the Spirit of God. And a lot of things, he's like, no. You know, or he'll close the door on stuff. And then there's other stuff where it's like, yeah, that's okay. You know? So I'm just trusting him, looking to him for direction, because basically I don't want to be out of position with him. And whatever it is that I do, I want it to be in connection with the Spirit of God. Okay, but realizing that the enemy of your soul is meticulous and thorough and incredibly well organized in a global network, a global spiritual network that's out to destroy you. And if you are not walking with the Father, if you're not walking in connection with the Spirit of God, you're out of position, and you have you're in trouble. You're in real trouble. And so that's why too, it's like we have to follow the voice of the shepherd, like John 10, like Jesus said, you know, my sheep know my voice, they won't follow another. We follow the voice of the shepherd of God, because when you follow him, he's also leading you through the minefield so that you don't step on one of these things and blow yourself up. But when somebody says, oh, okay, I got this thing covered, Jesus, you know, and they're like, okay, I'll go this way because this is a good desire and it's nice and it's the right time in life for this, and then later on it's just like, you know, not good, better, best, you know, there's and God is, he came that we might have an abundant life, but it comes on his terms. And it requires that, even there, when he's talking about it, he's talking also about following the shepherd. Following and as one of the sheep. So you follow him, and as you follow him, he's taking you through what it is that would be an abundant life, a rich life, a fulfilled life in him. You know, another pastor friend of mine in the States, you know, and he was preaching one time, and he said, you know, a lot of people come to him and they're like, you know, pastor, I need money. And he's like, look, you know, what you need to be praying for more than that, because you think money's going to fix your problems. He's like, no. It's like, what you need to be praying for and seeking God for is a fulfilled life. You know, seek God for a fulfilled life. You know, and the rest of it will take care of itself. But if you have a fulfilled life, a full life, a life in connection with the Spirit of God, that other stuff will be fine. You know? And so rather than, because people, a lot of people think that money will solve their problems. It won't. It will not solve your problems. In fact, most people, their expenses exceed their incomes, and if they make more, they just spend more. And their liabilities are huge, and so I've seen people live in the States. I mean, when I used to counsel with the church there, I mean, people would come in sometimes, people making six-figure salaries that are huge debt. It's like, okay, you're making a ton, but you can't get your finances together. So it's not about, you know, and they're working hard, they have good jobs, but they're just, you know. So realize that the enemy of your soul will work to shipwreck your life, and the only way that you can avoid that is by listening to and obeying the voice of the Spirit of God. That's the only way you'll navigate through this thing. And so, you know, when he shows you something, just do it. And trust him. You know? And really, really trust him. Okay. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay, so take the whole thing. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. One pastor friend of mine, when he was talking about this one, he said, your loins girt about with truth is like, you know, also put aside all sexual sin. You know what I mean? It's like, put that out. It's like, you know, let that be, you know, something that you're done with. You know, be true in that area of your life. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. I mean, our righteousness is in Christ. But put that on. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Good footwear and good things that we take with us everywhere that we walk and everywhere that we step. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And this one for me is really the one that's been staying with me right now, is the shield of faith. Faith, another word for faith is trust. You know, so taking the shield of trust, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So every shot that the enemy sends our way, every flaming arrow that he sends to try to incinerate our lives and to pierce us through, we take the shield of trust that we have in our God, in the one that loves us, the one that has us, and we hold it up there, and it blocks between us and every attack that the enemy sends our way. And we know that none of it can hurt us, because there's something that stands between us and that. And that is the trust that we have in the God that we know, and the God that we love, and the God that we serve. That He is taking care of and will take care of us in the situation that we're in. So that's the one that's been staying with me really heavy these days, is that, you know, I can trust Him. And we can trust Him, because He will take care of us. So whatever it is that we're facing, whatever it is that any decisions that need to be made, all of that, we can trust the Spirit of God. He will take care of us. And you have to know that. So it's like, you know, it's like if you don't know what to do right now, and you're at a crossroads and all of that kind of stuff, trust. You know, trust Him. If you don't know how you're going to pay your bills, your company's got a problem, trust Him. You bring it before Him, trust Him. You know, in all things, be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. What? Trust Him. You're seeking Him to do what it is that He promised He'd do, which is to take care of His people. You'd be all right. So we trust Him, you know, and I think people worry so much because of the fact that they don't trust Him. And when they don't trust Him, that's when it's like, you know, okay, you want to try to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders? Go ahead. But you can't do it. Now He can. So trust Him to do it. And you just do the part that He has for you. You just walk it out. Okay. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So we got the shield of trust, the shield of faith. And take the helmet of salvation. Okay, the helmet of salvation, that's what protects your mind. That's what protects your head. That's what protects your connection to the Spirit of God. So the helmet of salvation. So realize what you have. And, you know, keep that on so you don't take a nasty head wound. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There's our offensive weapon. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Yeah, so it's a double-edged sword. So the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So it's like, so here it is. We have that in our hands. We have that. And you know what's interesting too? Okay, the sword of the Spirit, which is in our hands, but it also proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because, I mean, even in Revelation, when it uses that language, it talks about there's a sword that comes out of His mouth. You know, and so it's like this, because it's the Word. So, but that which is also in our hands, you know, when you think about it too, there's very few sins you can commit in this world without using your hands. You need, like, a lot of times when people are doing things in this world, they're using their hands for that. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that's what we should be grasping in our... And that's what we should be holding on to. So we walk with and we use that which He's put in our hand for the fight that's at hand. So you know, that's why too, when we're swinging away at the attacks of the enemy, we have something that's able to decimate whatever it is that comes against us. So that's why too, when we face a situation, so right now, for example, like we were talking about that one situation a little earlier today, like, okay, Romans 8:28 says that God causes all things. Here, let's look at that one. Okay. Romans 8:28. So sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we have a situation at hand. Okay? So we have a situation at hand, and we're looking at, you know, a difficult thing that's up. Okay, well, what does the Word of God say? At verse 27 in chapter 8 says, "And he that knoweth the heart knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Okay, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God says that God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. That's me. That's you. That's us. So, that means that God will cause and has and is causing whatever situation we're facing right now to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So whatever it is that we're in, whatever it is that we're facing, God is going to use it and is going to cause it to work together for our good and for the kingdom. I'm like, okay, there it is. So I then take this, which is verse 17 of chapter 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and then I look at the situation at hand, which is, you know, whatever it is that's coming towards me, and then I take that scripture and that promise in the Word of God, and I say, Lord, this is your word. I'm just taking one. This is just one of tons of promises that are in here for us. And I take that and I say, alright, here's something coming at me. Alright, whatever the enemy intended for evil, God's going to cause it to work for good. And this thing that's coming against me right now, it's going to backfire on them, because God is going to cause this to work together for the good of me and the body of Christ. So, alright. Just, the ultimate example was the cross. The cross was this attack against the body of, against the literal body of Christ, Jesus Christ. And God took that situation and turned it around and made it so that we now have salvation and a connection with the Father through what happened there. God caused that to work together for our good. Okay. So, cool. So whatever it is that we're in, whatever it is that we're facing, we know that God is in control and that he will do that. Okay. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we pray, we pray always. So all the time we maintain a continuous connection with the Spirit of God. And so you can go through what we call the active prayer, which is where we bow our knee, we get away to a place where you can pray. But then we also go through, we can remain in a state of prayer through your entire day, where you're just staying in a place of connection. Now this is where too, when if you sin or you mess up, you're like, now you've stepped into a place where it's like, now you're out of that state of prayer and you're into flesh, or you're into something where you shouldn't be. Get out of that. Turn from that and get back into a place where you're in that state of prayer and that state of connection. And watching there with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we watch out for each other. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. See, this is why too we pray for one another. Because we pray for the strengthening of the manifestation of the gifts of God that he's put in each of us. So that's why too, it's like, and that's why too, when people ask me so many times, you know, what can we do to help you, etc., I'm like, just pray for me. You know, if you just pray for me, that's huge. That's the best thing that anybody can ever do for me, number one. Because also too, when somebody prays for me, the Spirit of God then tells them, here's what else you can do. And I'd much rather them hear it from him than them hear it from me. Although, I'll tell people too, that's okay. All right. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. Okay. So, yeah. You know, we're all ambassadors. He just happened to be in chains. that therein I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, so we speak boldly. So, you know, while you're in this army, training, discipline, courage, commitment, unity, teamwork, we're in a battle, we're in a fight. And the call of the righteous and the call of those who walk with and in Christ Jesus is to fight the good fight of faith and to stand. So that's what we do. Okay, so we'll stop there.